Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Taylor, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is December 21st, 2024, or the 21st day of Sebed, 2028. We will start our first service today with the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, Book. Part 4, The Leopard-Like Beast is a title. The chapter that we're in, we may search as far back as we desire, and it is certain that we shall discover, to our surprise and sorrow, that the church leadership has been so greatly deceived that at each period they fail to recognize the unrolling of a scroll, and as the blinded multitude took the side of the corrupted leaders against the revealed truth, they split Yahweh's church into numerous sections. Thus, by the defeating of the foremost, Satan has been able, for the engaging them for the labor for him, and thereby to overthrow the church as a body, to ascertain the accuracy of the foregoing statement, it would not be necessary to comment on the facts beyond the first advent of the Yahshua. Therefore, a brief survey of the Christian era shall be considered here. It says Satan had drawn the dirt brush over the eyes of the highest human intellect at the close of the Old Testament dispensation. Their spiritual eyes were so skillfully plastered that they could not see a bolt of lightning as bright as the sun in the darkest night. For the fulfillment of the prophecy and miracle surrounding the birth of Yahshua, his spotless character, his unselfish labor and wonders in every step, touch, look, and act, fill the very atmosphere with a divine love. Men who were destitute of the sense of the sight from their birth felt the healing power of the Infinite One. The blind saw the Yahshua of the glory and praised the Yahweh, but the religious teachers of Israel were not affected by the power that moved even inanimate objects, for the earth quaked and the sun veiled his face, the rocks were rent, and the graves were open. The dead arose and beheld the Son of Yahweh. But the proud Pharisees, priests, and rabbis, esteemed as never erring, could neither feel, see, nor hear. There is no wonder greater than the one written by the actions of the blind leaders of that age. John, speaking of the experience, said, "In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 1:4-5. Every possible ray of the light pointing unto the coming of the Lamb of Yahweh, had been given to the once chosen people. But it profiteth them not, said Yahshua. If therefore the light that be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? But that these experiences could arouse the leaders and the people at this present time from the self-confidence and counterfeit security and through an earnest search of the positive Bible truth. For the early apostolic congregation of the apostles, in the like manner, was dragged into the Dark Ages as soon as the apostles passed away. Satan marshaled his agents, men of renown, into the church. The already blinded leaders laid their hands on men, not from the viewpoint of the consecration, but from the distinction, and thus made them shepherds of the flock. And the darkest hour of the Christian church, Yahweh, by the hand of the Luther, called the attention of the multitude unto the terrible deception that few were ready to be to listen to the humble monk. One would imagine that the most intellectual would have been the first to see the light in the plain. Thus saith Yahshua, for the Luther, with a great struggle and at the risk of his life, founded the Lutheran denomination, but as he passed away, that movement, in the like manner, was corrupted and hardened against the new light on the word of Yahweh. As John Knox came with the additional truth, the leaders of the church refused to be interested. This necessity gave birth to the Presbyterian denomination. These experiences have been repeated with the Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. See the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 32 to 114. We have far more to fear from within than from without. The hindrances to strength and success are far greater than the church itself then from the World Review and Herald, March 22nd, 1887. We have far more to fear from within than from without. For the hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the World Review and Herald, March 22nd, 1887. If the danger against the church has been from within through the confidence and the self-deceived leadership in every age, what would change things at the present time? These facts concerning Satan's sure traps echo and re-echo with the loudest wail to arouse the sleeper at this particular time. Here, the trumpet sound. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52:2. For the prejudice with the dependence upon man and the confidence of having all the truth, and that there is need of none, has devoured more souls than any trap ever devised by the enemy of man or kind. For the class who accept the decisions of others without the investigation for themselves, I refuse to be interested in hearing and reasoning with the scriptures, have been deceived concerning present truth in every age. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with the Yahweh. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Yahshua knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. Men who are esteemed great by the world, Yahweh can seldom use. In general, the great educators of the age are carnal-minded. Therefore, the product from the schools of men is enmity against the Yahweh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, and it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. If the Yahweh would use them, they must first, with the great apostle, deny themselves, said the Paul, to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of the Yahshua should be made of none effect. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:17-19. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of the speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of the Yahweh. For I determined not to know anything among you save Yahshua Messiah and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. Yahweh took Moses to the desert, and there, with the supervision, he trained him for the 40 years when Moses unlearned just read that last sentence again. For Yahweh took Moses to the desert, and there with his supervision he trained him for the 40 years when the Moses unlearned all he had learned in the schools of the Egypt, then only was Yahweh able to use him for an instrument of his mighty arm. When the Moses felt capable to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage, he failed, but when he saw himself helpless, then he was strong. If Yahweh should give great light to a man who is high in his own esteem and held likewise by the world, man would glorify himself and rob Yahweh of the glory. At this time Yahshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. Yahweh reveals himself through the instruments and ways least suspected by men. Thus he performs a miracle by the making impossible possible, revealing his power and arousing the sleeper with the light and voice divine. Men of the distinction have seldom accepted any light upon the word of Yahweh simply on the value of his truth. This class generally accepts biblical truth after it becomes popular, and when preached by men esteemed higher than themselves, said the prophet, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. It is better to trust in the Yahweh than to put confidence in men. Psalms 118:8. For the prophet Micah, looking forward unto this time of eternal security, says, trust you not in a friend, put you not confidence in a guise. Micah 7:5. For Yahweh's people must learn to look unto him only, depending upon the plain, thus saith Yahweh. For he may use the human instrument for the communicating of the light, but it will shine on the never-ending word of Yahweh. Such light will dispel sin and rebuke the sinner, exalt Yahshua, glorify Yahweh, and debase men. For the lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the lowliness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day, or the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Yahshua of the host, this is Yahshua the Son, shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 2:11-12. Satan knows how to deceive so that it cannot be easily detected. For he studies the inclination of the people and the thing which appeals most, he sits as a trap, because the generation is trusting in the human intellect and are willing that others should think for them. The devil will present to this class the most dazzling personality the world has ever looked upon, said the apostle, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. For Yahweh's instruments for the communicating light upon his word will be the opposite under those of the Satan. I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, said the Yahshua, because I have hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. For the prophet Isaiah, it was revealed that Yahweh will use humble men for the debasing of the proud. For behold, the Yahshua, the Yahshua of the host, doth take away from the Yerushalayim and from Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, the stay and the staff, the whole stay of the bread and the whole stay of the water. For the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, even every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. For the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Isaiah 3:1-5 said Yahshua, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of the heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Matthew 18:4-5. For a brief summary of the leopard-like beast, it has been previously proven that the leopard-like beast, by his 7 heads and 10 horns, is a representation of a universal system. The 4 beasts of Daniel 7, namely the lion, bear, leopard, and the nondescript, were shown in the vision as the 4 universal empires, coming up one after another. This prophecy, as well as history, proves that Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome succeeded each other. This unbreakable chain of the 4 links makes it impossible to intersect any one of the 4 beasts with a universal system. Therefore, the leopard-like must come in line after the 4th beast. As the 10 horns of the nondescript beast represented 10 kings that were to arise from the Roman monarchy, the crowns on the horns prove that the leopard-like beast represents the period after the fall of the Roman monarchy, at which time the ten kings received their kingdom, as he also came out from the sea, it is evident that he too was to be created from the result of wars. Thus the fall of the Roman monarchy at the cross gave birth unto a fifth beast, for his mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and ten horns show that he is a descendant of the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. As he opened his mouth in the blasphemy for 42 months, or 1260 years, it is undeniable that he represents the papal period from 538 A.D. until 1798 A.D., the time in which the papal head received this deadly wound. But as his wound was to heal some time after 1798, it is evident that he also represents this world's history after the imprisonment of the Pope, Pius the Fifth, up until the time of his deadly wound was healed. These periods gave birth unto the Catholicism and Protestantism. It was never, for it would have been unwise and useless for the devising of this prophetic beast if the symbols would fail to reveal Protestantism as they do Catholicism, because the 1260 years ended
before.
In 1798.
Before.
Okay, let's do a little review here. Before the 1260 years ended in 1798, the four Protestant denominations were already in existence, namely Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Baptist. But after 1798 came the First Day Adventist, and the Seventh Day Adventist from 1844 to 1929 completed his seven heads, as the Protestantism fell by the declaration of the Second Angel message after 1844, and as the symbol of the Revelation 13 in 1930, revealed that the Seventh-day Adventists wandered after the beast, world, these two incidents healed the wound and reared the blasphemy over all seven heads. Thus the complete fulfillment of the symbolical prophecy revealed the truth of the beast, as all other sects are but offshoots from these seven bodies. For the heads included all Christendom up to the 1930, as the prophetic word of Yahweh says, all the world wondered after the beast, worldliness, and not after the head papacy. It denotes that they have wondered after the world and not after Catholicism. Out of this great apostasy, the message of the Revelation 7:1 and 8 will steal and save 144,000 cents from the SDA church, who shall never taste death. But the message represented by the angel of the Revelation 18, with whose glory the earth is to be lightened, will call out from the world the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9. For the Yahweh, who is so particular for the good of his church, and revealing his truth unto his people, has presented unto us wonderful pictures of the historical event, which is the evidence of the love everlasting for the Israel, his chosen, the first fruits of his harvest. Thus the Yahweh of the Jacob, thousands of years in advance, had laid his plans to present unto his people a work of the prophetic art with the divine touch. Okay, that's the end of the leopard libraries. Now we go into the second half of this study, with the title, the subtitle, which is the two-horned beast. Now, we're in that subject matter. Revelation 13:11-18. This is where we're at today. We're in this two-horned beast with the United States government and Donald Trump. As John beheld the vision with the intense interest, his attention was directed unto another striking object, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he had spake as a dragon. Revelation 13:11. Just about the time that the second and the last stage of the nondescript beast was in to terminate, another earthly power was to come upon the stage of the action. According unto the vision, it is wonderful to note how accurate the symbols are, even unto their proper time and order. For the beast having lamb-like horns, promise of the growth is an unmistakable symbol of a nation slowly arising as from the small plan unto a mighty temple or empire. Lamb-like is a descriptive of the government arising in 1776 A.D., see the Great Controversy, page 439-441. For this beast has been accepted as a symbol of the United States. Therefore, our intention is not to bring forth facts pertaining unto his application. Our aim is, as previously stated, to briefly connect one beast with another by the throwing light upon the symbols which have not been understood. It will be noticed that every beast representing the New Testament time has 10 horns except this one. We repeat that the 10 horns stand as a symbol of the universal system. This fact proves that the two-horned beast represents a local government, as the civil powers are governments are symbolized by the horns. This particular beast having two it is evident that the nation represented by this symbol shall have a double form of the government. As John says, the beast spake as a dragon, for it clearly reveals that it is to repudiate its constitution, and the Yahweh given liberty of his subjects will be taken away, according unto Revelation 13:12. This power is to imitate the beast before him, the papal rule, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. If this great nation should presume upon the conscience of its subjects by the legislation as to how they may or may not worship, it would be contrary for the provisions in his constitution speaking as a dragon, for the courting of the system United States Constitution, the First Amendment concerning religious matters states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If this country should repudiate this amendment, it will completely meet the symbolical specification. The following verse discloses the fact that the old dragon shall exercise his power to deceive as many as possible, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth and the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:13-14. Thus he is to exercise persecuted powers as well as the working of the miracles. As the word exposes this great deception, one would think that the world would open its eyes and refuse to be charmed by such satanic wonders, but the Satan knows that the people are unmindful of the word of Yahweh, and that their emotions are easily moved by the supernatural marvels and the eloquence of men. Therefore, he will perfect the contrivance, and many will fall into it regardless of the wonders, for the human mind cannot comprehend that mysterious and irresistible power that is soon to be spread, to spread its dreadful shadow over the inhabitants of the earth. No mortal being can stand against that supernatural civil and religious system. Those who are students of the Word, trusting in the Yahweh without the reservation, and thus filled with the Holy Spirit, will escape that dreadful trap. Okay, we're on page 109. For the following verse discloses the fact that the old dragon shall exercise his power for the deceiving as many as possible, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:13-14. Thus he is to exercise persecutive powers as well as the working of the miracles. As the word exposes this great deception, one would think that the world would open its eyes and refuse to be charmed by such a satanic wonders. But Satan knows that the people are unmindful of the word of Yahweh, and that their emotions are easily moved by the supernatural marvels and the eloquence of men. Therefore, he will perfect the contrivance, and many will fall into it regardless of the warnings. For the human mind cannot comprehend that mysterious and irresistible power that is soon to spread the dreadful shadow over the inhabitants of the earth. Earth in prophecy is the United States now. Keep that in mind. No mortal being can stand against that supernatural, civil, and religious system. For those who are students of the Word, trusting in the Yahweh without the reservation, and thus filled with the Holy Spirit, will escape that dreadful trap. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 53. For their only safety will be, thus saith the Yahweh, for they must look unto the Yahweh as their only deliverer, as did the three Hebrews in the ancient Babylon, and as the Daniel in the lion's den. Let the consequence be what it may, Yahweh's people can find shelter only in the taking of the position of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as when they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Yahweh, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:16-18. For the Yahweh's people, with the Daniel, will be able to say at the time of their deliverance, my Yahweh has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, thus they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also behold thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel 6:22. In such time of the trial it shall be clearly seen who will serve the Yahweh and who will not. For that time of the trouble shall divide the earth's inhabitants into two separate and distinct classes, as sheep and goats. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:15-17. For this drastic decree of the two-horned beast shall be adopted by the nations of the world, and the image of the beast, which will demand obedience unto an ecclesiastical form of the worship, will be internationally set up, for the mark of the beast is Sunday observing, under the one pretext or another, for the careless and indifferent will worship the image of the beast and receive the mark, only those who have fortified themselves with the faith in the Yahweh, knowledge of His Word, and obedience unto the divine precepts through the sanctification of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit will be able to escape the clutches of the devil. When the Yahweh's people are restrained from the buying and selling, for their only source of their sustenance will be through the divine providence, one way or another, for that short time Yahweh will provide and care for His people, but it may be in a similar circumstance as in the wilderness journey. For the time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced for the seeking of a refuge in the desolate and solitary places, as the siege of the Jerusalem by the Roman armies was a signal for flight to the Judean, Judean Christians. Let's do it again. As the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman army was the signal for the flight of the Judean apostolic believers, so the assumption of the power on the part of our nation and the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning unto us. It will then be time for the leaving of the large cities, preparatory for the leaving of the smaller ones for the retired home and the secluded places among the mountains, testimonies for the church, volume 5, page 464 and 5. The 18th verse of Revelation 13 will be explained in another study. Okay, our next subject, we have 10 minutes to go on this study, entitled The Scarlet Colored Beast, Revelation 17. On page 111, it says, So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Revelation 17:3. This particular beast cannot be a symbol of the Rome, as some have thought. The first reason is that the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7, as previously explained, is a symbol of the Rome, and was seen coming up from the sea. But the scarlet-colored beast, John says, was in the desert. Therefore, the forces that brought the scarlet-colored beast on the stage of the action is the opposite of that which produced the nondescript beast. They represent the United States. Oh no. Now the script is representing Rome. For the second reason is, as the angel was about to show the vision unto John, he said, To him come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Revelation 17:1. Then John was carried into the wilderness, and there he saw the woman riding on the beast. The reason the vision is given is for the showing him of the judgment of the woman. But she was not judged in the days of the Rome, for her judgment is yet in the future and will be executed under or with the loud cry angel of the Revelation 18, see verse 8 to 10. For the riding on the beast is her last act. Therefore, the beast must represent the period in which she is judged. There is a third reason why the beast cannot be a symbol of the Rome, for the book of the Daniel and the book of the Revelation were written especially for the generation living at the time of the end, and not so much for the Roman world. See Daniel 12:4. For they had no understanding of the writings that pertain unto the last days, and thus could not have profited by them. Therefore, it would have been improper and unwise on the part of the Yahweh for the applying all of the beast unto Rome and for the leaving of the period unto which the books apply without the symbolical representation. For we believe that there must be more complete symbolical information for the present generation than for any previous one. Thus it is very inconsistent and unreasonable of those who have applied the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13 and the scarlet-colored of the Revelation 17, in addition to the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7, as a symbol of the Rome. Why so many symbols of the Rome and none of the period for which the books were written? Furthermore, there are no facts for the supporting of such claims. For the greatest rebuke for such assertions, and that they derive the same lesson from one beast as they do from the other. If there is no special lesson in each of them, why are they given for the applying of the heads as they do for the applying of the horns unto the symbols of the governments? Shows that they had no light from the great and all-wise Yahweh. If each term means government, why did inspiration use both horns and heads? Note how unreasonable it is for the applying of the woman riding on the beast or sitting on the heads to Catholicism in the New Testament time, and the heads to the seven consecutive forms of the governments in the Old Testament time period, said the angel. For the seven heads of the seven mountains are on which the woman sitteth. Revelation 17:9. If the papal church came into the existence in 508 A.D., how could she sit on any government centuries before? Again, if the heads succeeded each other, where is the proof? Are they not all present on the beast, and the woman sitting on them as the scarlet-colored beast by his 10 horns and 7 heads? Proves to be universal for the successive chain of the beast, the lion, bear, four-headed leopard, nondescript and leopard-like, make it impossible for another universal beast to intersect their unbreakable chain of the 5 links. Such an act would be an attempt for the overthrowing of the prophecy and history. Therefore, the only period he can possibly represent would be the one after the deadly wound of the leopard-like is healed, becoming a sixth universal beast, since the scarlet colored is the last in the symbolical procession of the beast. He must possess all of the characteristics of the of his ancestors, for the 10 horns of the nondescript beast, as the 7 heads of the leopard-like, are, and his own unharmed heads show that he comes on the stage of the action after the deadly wound was healed. For his scarlet color denotes a curse, as it does on the dragon, devil, and the Revelation 12:3. And the words "go into the perdition," Revelation 17:11, reveal that he is to bring this world to an end by a curse that will result in the entire ruin with the destruction. Further misery or eternal death is found in the Standard Dictionary information. Therefore, if this beast represents our world at the present time, would it not be unwise on the part of the Yahweh if he should have neglected for the foreseeing of the present day multiplicity of the sects and the great confusion among Christendom, if the symbols by this beast fall or fail to reveal the true condition of the churches, as the nondescript beast tells the fall of the church in the period he represents, so much the scarlet color. In fact, this is the principal reason why these prophetic beasts are presented. For the scarlet colored beast is the last symbolical beast in the continuous chain of the historical events, for this beast does not arise from the sea like the beast before it, but was seen in the wilderness. Therefore, a scarlet colored beast is created by an historical incident, unlike the beast before it, for the symbol denotes that it is not strife and wars between the nations that brings this beast upon the stage of the action, but rather a principle that is the opposite of the symbol troubled sea. For he has 10 horns and 7 heads, for the same as a leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, 1 to 3. For the only difference between the beast of the two beasts is the deadly wound on the leopard lie, and his wound was healed. For it is evident that the scarlet colored is a continuation of the leopard lie, says the John, and his deadly wound was healed. Thus the scarlet colored beast has a seven unharmed heads. For the seven heads represents Christendom, as your Protestants. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is your seventh Protestant church of those seven, as they do on the leopard, like beast. But it is in the symbol of the scarlet color that they are called Babylon, as he is full of the names of blasphemy. It verifies the fact that he represents an exceeding sinful period, full of the names and implied a person of the great multiplicity of the so-called Christian sects, and blasphemy because of the rejection of the present truth and for the refusing to be corrected and yet dare to call themselves by the name of the Yeshua, antitypical apostolic believers in the Yeshua. For the ten horns denote the same as on the beast before it, meaning a universal system. If the heads of the leopard-like beast represents religious organizations, then the scarlet-colored embraces the entire present civilization, both the civil and religious, horns and heads. Note that the dragon of the Revelation 12:3 has the crowns on his heads, not on his horns. It has been previously explained that when the crowns appear on the heads, it denotes a religio-political system, in other words, a theocracy. But if they appear on the horns, it reveals that the state is independent of the church. It will be noticed that the scarlet-colored beast is crownless, as the nondescript of Daniel 7, 7, and 8 for the ten horns in the first stage of the nondescript beast representing Imperial Rome had no crowns because they had received no kingdom as yet. But in his second stage, after the fall of the Imperial Rome, in the reality, they should have been crowned the little horn, having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, a combination of a horn head, a union of the church and state, the papacy, being supreme, for the horns could have no crown, showing the papacy was to rule over king. For the scarlet-colored beast is also controlled by the woman riding on his back, church and state. Thus it denotes that she is the authority or the crown, for she rules the beast. This is one of the reasons why the crowns are absent on this beast, for the last is an image of the first, verifying the fact that the scarlet-colored beast represents the image of the beast, period, fulfilling Revelation 13, 12, 15. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and it had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. For the difference between the two drastic systems is revealed by the two symbols, horn and head on the one, and the woman riding on the other. For the nondescript beast has only one horn head, a symbol of a mono-sectarian system by the alliance of the civil power with the religious creed. But the scarlet-colored beast has the seven heads, which denote a multi-sectarian combination under or with a supreme religio-political jurisdiction for the woman, for he represents our world at its end with a sovereign authority and a theoretical theology under or with the dominion of the woman. For the period represented by the scarlet-colored beast commenced in the 1929, at which time the deadly wound was healed. But his career is not fully developed until the woman shall sit upon his back. For the commencement of that act will be marked when the following prediction is fully realized. When the proselytism shall stretch forth her hand across the gulf of the for the grasping of the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss for the clasping hands with the spiritualism, when under or with the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of the papal falsehood and delusions. Then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of the Satan, and that the end is near. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 451. This brings the end of our 50th hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.